HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan, announcing show number 195, recorded live Thursday, January 14th, 2010. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. In this episode, Scott talks about the Wix project with project lead Rob Menching.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes. And I'm chatting today with Rob Menching, who is the project lead for the Wix project. The Wix project is an installer application that is open source and has had probably one of the longest open source projects that I've seen running around Microsoft. How are you, Rob?
Doing well.
So this has been going on for a long time. Let's just start at the beginning then. What is Wix and when did it start?
So the Wix tool set is a set of tools that build Windows installation packages, so MSI files. The idea is that you take source code, which happens to be XML, you feed it into a compiler and a linker, much the same way as you feed, you know, C++ code into a compiler and linker, and out the other end pops an MSI that has all of your files cabbed up if you want that, all the stuff laid out such that you can take that, put it on a CD and ship it to your customers, take that, put it on the internet, flow it to your customers and things like that. And the idea, originally came from the fact that we had all these tools that, you know, like were very focused on GUI and you had to go in and point and click on things, but they didn't necessarily fit real well into the development process that was typical inside Microsoft at that time. And by the way, we're talking 1999 when I started this.
1999.
Wow. Yeah, that's when I graduated university and joined Microsoft in 99. So the Wix toolset was different because it was check these command line tools into your build system, have a make file, because that's what we were using back then, and then have them driven in the same way with source control and all that kinds of good stuff. A little bit later, I think it was about 2003, we had a guy join us and said, how about I get Visual Studio integration? So he started the work to create what we call Votive, which is the Visual Studio integration package that gives us all the build goodness and stuff like that. And over time, we've kept up with the source control text files that are built by these command line tools. Then we added MS Build tasks and more Visual Studio integration and so on and so forth. So that's where we've come from. Our next thing is keeping up with the state of the art of installation is people are not shipping one MSI anymore. They're shipping like their MSI and they need .NET Framework, or they need MSI, .NET Framework, and SQL Express or MSXML. And all these different packages can no longer be put into a single thing. So the big thing that we're releasing in the next version of the Wix tool set is not just Visual Studio 2010 support when that ships, but also this thing that we call a chainer bootstrapper that will hook all those packages together again in a, you'll define a text file, say all the things you want, the build process will output all these MSIs, and then finally an executable that allows you to chain all those MSIs together. So that's what we are about.
Okay, wow. That was a 10-year experience there in a minute. So this is a DSL. It's a domain-specific language for installers. The XML grammar is your own, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, so it's completely made up. And is it it's a full-fledged language in the sense that it has probably a schema associated with it. And does it, and it allows you, it sounds like, more granularity really over your MSIs than was actually present given the GUI that was going on, the GUIs that were available at the time.
It depends on the GUIs. Some GUIs, you know, allows you to get down to the actual table row concepts that are inside the Windows installer, which it's the Windows installer files, the MSI files themselves are little databases. So you can actually see them as tables and rows. The goal of the Wix toolset was to abstract away a lot of the weirdnesses that were in those tables and rows, and the fact that they're tables and rows, because installation is very hierarchical, which will map really nicely in XML, you can imagine. So it has all these constructs to hide away these some of the nastier details, but also give you full control over the Windows installer, which was one of the big key things. At the time, I was a developer in Windows or in Office, And so I was looking at, hey, this is this gigantic, huge project. How do we do things to enable this fitting the build process a bit? We have some other features that allow you to do distributed development really well, such that you can take what would be, say, the Office installation and break it up into many small parts where one guy's worried about WinRAR.exe, another guy's worried about like MSO DLL, and there's all this COM registration and things that hook together. Each individual developer can be responsible for their individual parts, and the Wix tool set through the compiling and linking will bring it all back together into one MSI or however you want to organize it. So it is designed to go to huge scale and provide everything that you can do in the Windows installer. We support that in the Wix tool set.
Wow.
Okay. Guiding principle.
So 10 years ago, you're just out of school and you've just, and Microsoft is your first and only job. Is that right?
Besides, you know, I had an internship at an engineering firm when I was in college, and then I had an internship at Microsoft in 98 as well. Okay. Then I came back in 99.
And then you had this idea, and how did you have this idea? Like, was this part of your job where you needed to make installers as part of your job? And you said, wow, this existing tool set is unacceptable.
So, when I was an intern on in Office, where the Windows installer was actually created. So I was an intern on the Windows installer in 98. So I had a little bit of background of what this thing was when I started in 99, and I had created mostly tools around the Windows installer format. Of course, you don't take an intern and say, here, let's put you in the middle of the engine near the end of our ship cycle and have you just kind of write code in there. They don't do that to interns. So instead, I got tools. How can you make it easier, things to know about Windows installers and stuff like that? So at the time, I created things like ICES, which are the internal consistency evaluators. You can think of it kind of like FXCOP for C#. We have an static analysis for MSI files. I also created Orca, and which is probably one of the things I'm more famous for, which is the assembly-level debugger kind of thing that you can get into and see every little piece of a Windows installer file in that row table format. So
Orca is kind of the database editor. It's the Microsoft Access of installers.
MSI files. Yes, of MSI files, yeah. And you know, hardly anybody uses it today because I saw people try and do this. And you know, it's like, oh, you have to get the foreign key relationships right, then you have to type all this right. And I was like, this is crazy. So that's when I started getting into, well, you know, there should be a high-level concept, and I knew text files were, you know, the build process, source control, that kind of stuff was an important thing. And I at the time, you know, we're talking 1999, XDR was coming up. You know, XML with an XDR types things, and DTDs were going away, but Microsoft's doing SDR. This was before XSD. Anyway, so I was like, oh, this XML thing looks like it's going to be good. It's going to be a big thing. And I didn't want to write a whole parser for my language. So I was like, I'll just put it in XML. This XML will be a big thing. So, in fact, if you come to my office, you'll see my door tag I've been carrying around since Office because the guys got tired of hearing me say, I think XML is going to be this thing. It'll be really cool. They gave me a door tag that said, has mentioning as elements and Rob as the text of the the element, and that's my door tag, which of course at this point people are like, yeah, okay, whatever. But back and then, XML was a big, you know, new and exciting kind of thing. So I took the Windows installer, took XML, put them together into this project, said, I can learn a lot from this. And then it turns into what we have is the Wix tool set today.
When you started this, did you ask a boss ahead of time? And again, not only was XML in the kind of the beginning stages, but I think it would be fair to say that open source, as far as Microsoft was concerned, was certainly not on their radar. Were you doing this as part of your job, or did you be doing this on the side?
This is so the Wix toolset has been a side job for, you know, these 10 years. I started it because one, I thought it would be a good thing for us to have. I was going to learn a lot from it, but I believed in this text file build system for building installation packages, and that setup could be distributed across many developers. I believed in those things. So this project was kind of a way of, you know, taking that philosophy and saying, look, here's something you can do. Here's the goodness you can get out of it. And so I was running. I mean, the first version was all written in VBScript. So, I mean, like Wix V1, it was all VBScript. It grew into like 10,000 lines of VBScript code with, you know, all the WSF files and stuff like that. The VBScript team loved me at that time because I would stress their engine. I'd file bugs every once in a while going, yeah, it doesn't work when you do this. And I'm like, oh, hey. Turns out my roommate later would be one of the guys that worked on this scripting engine. So anyway, so it was just an idea that I had that we should do this. Now, it was a side project, and I had been exposed very little to open source, just a little bit towards the end. One of my friends in college had been getting the Debian and stuff like that, and I kind of like going, you know, what is this about? Well, you get the source code for free. That's kind of unique. you know, this is junior year, whatever. So it was an interesting idea. So when I was at Microsoft, I was like, look, come inside. It only makes sense that I'm going to work on this inside. You're going to get the source code. It's VBScript. So what if I can get people involved in this project? And I knew it was open source, but I called it community source for a long time. Look, let's build a community around this thing. Let's get people talking about it. Because, I mean, and we're talking about setup geeks here, right? So we're talking about guys that build winterization packages and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that you point that out, though. Let's back up for a second, because we are talking about setup geeks, as you like to say. There's a special kind of engineer that really, really enjoys writing a great setup application.
That's true.
And I have a great amount of respect for those folks, but to see a good setup application is a work of art. And I think it would be wonderful to imagine a world one day when there is no setup and then we're just dragging everything in an applications folder. But until then, a good looking setup, like a paint.net level setup is a beautiful thing.
And so I totally agree with you about that. And so the big thing at that time was setup guys also don't tend to get much respect in general. This is kind of like, yeah, just go make it happen. Why isn't this X copy? And I'm like, it's not X copy because the systems have been made hard or the applications made difficult, not because we like to make our lives difficult. And so it was a nice way to kind of bring this community together and go, hey, there are other people out here that are doing the setup stuff. Maybe we can all make our lives better by building tools that help us. And so that's what the Wix toolset has been for these years. And the open source, so it wasn't open source inside. I mean, it followed all the typical things you get from open source. There's the code, you could get it, you'd send in, we'd have a mailing list, people would talk about it, and it was all inside the company until the end of 2003 when I finally got to a point where I'm like, okay, I think it's time for me to go and see if I can take this project, the set of tools that I think would be useful for developers outside the company. By the way, in that time, I had rewritten the VBScript into C# as a way of learning C#. I had switched teams to where we needed to use C#, and I didn't know it well, so I took my VBScript and, you know, rewrote this gigantic thing in C# in a couple weeks, because that's how long they gave me to ramp up on the language. So I rewrote, and they're like, okay, that's great. And I was like, with this C# language, I could take this outside the company, and people could use it. How do I go about doing that? And so I started going through, you know, every group has an LCA rep. So I went to LCA rep and I sat down and I said,
okay, so slow down because because I'm talking to you on the phone. People who are listening to the show won't know what LCA is. So legal and corporate affairs, LCA is what we call the suits, the lawyers here at Microsoft.
Yes.
So you actually called the suits.
Yeah, sure. I call them because people always make fun of lawyers and stuff like that. I love those guys because once I figured out what they're doing is trying to apply what we do in logic and coding rules and all that kind of stuff, they're trying to apply it to the English language, which makes it infinitely harder. But once I figured out about lawyers, I was like, okay, I get you guys.
Hey, everybody, this is Scott coming at you from another place in time. No doubt you probably bump into testing tasks now and then in your work. And you know, writing functional tests is probably not your favorite thing. It's kind of difficult, takes time, and the results can be dubious. Well, get ready to start liking tests thanks to Telerik with the new WebEye testing framework. Building web automation tests is a breeze. You've got code automation with advanced ASP.NET Ajax and Silverlight applications. You can write a single test, have it executed against multiple browsers at once. You benefit from a rich API. There's link support, integration with Visual Studio unit testing, also NUnit, XUnit, and MBUnit. Not to mention the free wrappers for Telerik RAD controls for ASP.NET Ajax and Silverlight, all shipping with Telerik's new testing tool. One of the best features, the WebEye testing framework, which is developed by Art of Test, is it's absolutely free. If you've already got hooked on WebEye testing framework, start using it right away. Go to Telerik.com for more info. Thanks a lot.
Did you just say that the lawyers are trying to code with English?
Yes, absolutely.
That is awesome.
Trust me. When you get into the interpretations of what open source licenses are, you're going to see all the debates are about the placement of punctuation and what words are used and things like that. If we have time, I'll tell you something about the CPL, which is kind of fun. So so I went to the LCA, our legal rep, and said, hey, what I'd like to do is release this code. I know Microsoft has kind of been a little bit more open about releasing code to the externals. Some of the policies in 1999 were a lot more do not touch open source at all. By 2003, right, we were starting to be a little bit more, let's do some things in this space. I went to the legal guy. He's like, okay, this is kind of the EULA we put on it, the, you know, licenses that we put on it that says, hey, you can use this, but Microsoft doesn't make any guarantees on it, stuff like that. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking for. I'd also like to be able to, like, have contributions come back. And the lawyer just kind of stops and looks at me, and he's like, you mean, like, open source? And I'm like, yeah, like a community where we can hang out and, you know, talk about code and stuff. And he's like, that's different. I know a guy that happens to be working on that kind of project. So I got looped to this lawyer, another lawyer, and I never say his last name, like Steve Mikowski or something like that. He doesn't work on that space anymore. But at the time, he's like, all right, I know who you need to talk to. And they hooked me in with this business guy that was in the Windows business guy. And his name was Stephen Wally. And Stephen Wally says, hey, this is great. Let's have coffee. And I'm like, okay, we're going to have coffee. So I sit down and I look at him and he looks at me and he goes, so what are you doing? I tell him the story. He's like, okay, that's good. That's good. He's like, all right. So what do you want to do? I'm like, I want to release this. I want to, you know, be able to have contributions. I want to have a community outside. He's like, okay, that's good. How much headcount do you want? And I was like, headcount? You mean like people to work on this project? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, none? Me and like four guys are working on it right now. And, you know, we get together at my house on Thursday nights and order pizza and hack on the code and have a good time and laugh. And then, you know, we do our job during the day. And he's like, perfect. And so what ends up happening is I end up rolled in. He goes to my management. We go to the guys, the management that has the Windows installer team. They all talk about, hey, is this okay? Are you guys okay if we release this project? It ends up going to Jim Ulchin. And I have this meeting with Jim Ulchin, an hour and a half meeting. They had been looking for an open source project to release from Microsoft.
And just to be clear to the folks that are listening, Jim Ulchin is important.
Jim Ulchin is the, at this point in time, the head of the Windows organization, all of it. And so he was a very, you know, important dude. And we had this meeting and I'm like sitting here going, this is crazy. Like, I'm just a dev, right? I'm just a guy that writes code sitting here in Jim Ulchin's office. And, you know, they're looking at it and it's like, and there had been pre-meetings before this talking about what they've been looking for. So Stephen Wally talks about the project a little bit, what it is. Jim Ulchin looks at me and I don't remember all the questions he asked. He's like, you do this on your free time? I'm like, yeah, this is important. He's like, okay. And he looks at everybody and goes, is this our, you know, this is a good project? And he has his lunch there because we had this lunch meeting and everybody goes, yeah. He's like, looks at Steve and he goes, you found your project, and walks out. And so I'm like, cool. Is that like we're signed off? And so we walk out the door and the admin, I remember this, she looks at it, she goes, that is the fastest meeting we've ever had. She goes, and she points at me, she goes, I like you. So at that point, we had approval. The things we did after that was, where do we put the project? What license do we use? Jason Matisau, who was a big force in the open source and Microsoft agreements, the guy was great too. We sat down with a number of legal people and said, what license are we going to use? And remember, this is before any of the Microsoft open source licenses exist or anything like that. And they said,
right, I'm wondering actually if there's any license before this. Like, what was this the first thing that we really pushed out with any kind of open source license?
Yes. This is the first thing that came from Microsoft that, you know, was a Microsoft project that came out under an official OSI license. So we talked about licenses. We ended up settling on the CPL. The legal guys could explain to you why the CPL was this.
What does CPL stand for?
The Common Public License. The Common Public License is the third version I've kind of heard of, as the IBM had the IPL, which was the IBM Public License, that they based on some of the stuff that they had read and like the differences between the Apache and the GPL. And then the IBM came out with the Common Public License, and later on they went on to the EPL, which is the Eclipse, is like branches of this. You know how languages, programming languages, all come back from some language in the beginning? I don't know if it's fourth or whatever it is. You can see the same thing in open source licenses. This one begets this one, and this one begat this one, and so on and so forth. So we were picked to use the CPL because we wanted to use somebody else's license that was already approved, just get this project out there. And then it was, well, where do you put this? And the answer was, well, you know, we're going through 2004, towards the end of 2004, beginning of 2004, and we're like, well, you know, the big place people are on is SourceForge. So we're like, cool, we're going to SourceForge. So April 5th, 2004, we release the Wix toolset under the CPL on SourceForge. And this is Wix V2, because Wix V1 was all VB script, never saw the light of day outside of Microsoft. So it's all the C# stuff. And poof, there you go. Open source for Microsoft on April 5th, 2004.
Huh. And was it too much fanfare, or was it too kind of a silent nothing?
No, it was, so there was a set of interviews set up. Jason Matisau had people he's meeting with. The news was like first released to Mary Jo Foley. And so she wrote a thing, and I had a blog by that point. And so I wrote the blog post that says, this is what it is, this is why it exists. and yay. And then that blog post just got flooded with comments and all kinds of different things. People were writing around the world. I remember there were two running themes. The first theme is, it must be very cold in hell now, which was one of the things. Oh, flying pigs was another one. But the one that I thought was most funny is like, this is like 4 days after April Fool's Day. We're wondering if Microsoft is just playing a joke on us a little late.
Really? Wow. They didn't buy it.
People did, but they're like, is this for real? Like, is Microsoft really just do open source? And the answer was, yeah, we did. Right there, that day, released it, and now we had a whole lot of, critics and people saying that it wasn't real, that what we were doing really, for example, one of the mistakes I made that I didn't even know was a mistake was the initial, build was released. When I released the code, you needed like Visual Studio to build it. And people were like immediately complaining, oh, well, this is just a ploy that they're going to release open source that's going to force you to buy copies of Visual Studio. And I was like, wow, people are going to use the Wix tool set because it's going to, it's so popular among developers, like we're talking setup geeks, wow, that they're going to buy a copy. So I was like, well, that wasn't what my intention was. All right. So then I rewrote the build system in Make, literally NMake and all tools that were freely available for Microsoft, for example, to quiet all of these different concerns. And finally, I got to a point, I'm like, you know what? The way that we're going to be accepted by the open source community is by being around for a long time. So I was like, fine.
Exactly.
I'll be here. People can be critical that, Microsoft is going to do this and they're going to dump it or whatever. I'm like, no, this is the project. I've been doing this up to this point, up for 5 years. This is not the end. At a certain level, this is like the end of the beginning and we're getting into the good stuff now. And so, we've been around for 5 years, and all those things are gone now. Now we're just, this is an open source project for Microsoft. There's a whole bunch of them. Yeah, who cares?
So at this point, you've been out 10 years now?
Well, the project has been around for 10 years. So for me, the Wix tool set existed in 1999, the end of 1999. Mm-hmm. So I passed the 10-year mark, end of last year, and it's been public for over 5 years.
Wow. And does this actually ship in Visual Studio? Like, can I get this in Visual Studio 2008 or 2010, or do I still have to download it separately?
You still download it separately. There was a deal we cooked up for a little while to have the Wix tool set ship as part of the Visual Studio 2010. And the business guys got into it, and they're like, yeah, we're not sure. Why don't you guys just keep doing this? So the decision was then to go, we're not sure we want to do all the work to bring it into the Visual Studio box with all of that means. So why don't you guys stay download? So we're on VS Gallery now. So, you can get to it through the Visual Studio Gallery download, and you can pull it from SourceForge. You can pick a weekly build. But we are not in the Visual Studio box.
Do you think that gives you less legitimacy? I mean, in the sense that, it's still awesome and the accomplishment is great, but did they not put it into the product just out of laziness, or did they think that by putting it in the product, it might change the way people felt about it?
I think I had it in my mind how I could explain the differences between what the community version would have been and the Visual Studio version would have been, because they would have been different versions, slightly, right? Because the community one would have continued and the Visual Studio one would have stopped, stabilized, shipped in the product, and then stayed there for a long time. And we were working on things to try to get it so you could pull the community version out and swap the Visual Studio one out if you wanted to move forward with the community thing. So we're getting all this, and it was just kind of like, where we're at, this isn't exactly the experience we want to have. The Visual Studio guys decided this isn't exactly the experience we wanted to have. So did it affect our legitimacy? The problem with open source projects that are run like by the set of volunteers like they are in the way that we run the Wix tool set is that there isn't a company entity behind it that says, if you want to pay me money, I will support you for using this product. So that is one of the things that I know affects the legitimacy of the Wix tool set like it affects the legitimacy of any open source project, which is the, if a company, big companies typically, want to call somebody up and say, I need you to fix this. I want you to fix this now because I am paying you this much money. We don't have anybody that does that for the Wix tool set today. That's the only legitimacy. After that, 5 years in the community, we released the Wix 2 version. We've released the Wix 3 version. That released last summer. And we're working on Wix 3.5 to bring in this chainer bootstrapper. We're alive, we're kicking, we're growing, we get more people all the time. We have people saying both good and bad things about us, about our language, about the way the tool works. The good stuff I appreciate, the bad stuff I take as, oh, that's what we need to fix. Got it. Thank you for the feedback. And we have nothing but, another 10 years ahead of us of things to improve. So we're a legitimate open source project with the way all those things work. We are legit. I mean, we have some really big customers, you know, Office, Visual Studio, almost all of Microsoft uses the Wix toolset at that point. That helps a lot with people going, does this thing really work?
But now with the Wix toolset, now this isn't your job though, right? I mean, how does this affect your job at Microsoft? Are you still doing this on Thursday nights with your friends at the house, or do you have time at work on work, you know, like 9 to 5 that you can actually work on this?
So no, the way I still run it is, you know, it's the thing I do on Saturdays or Thursday nights or like that. I interleave questions in the middle of the day quite often when people ask questions. Sometimes I'll answer them and things like that when they're sent to me. And then I just kind of mentally know that, hey, I have to work harder in the evening or something to catch up any time that I might spend on this. So it's still the side thing for me. And that's starting, you know, to shift around a little bit. But it's still a side project, has been, and I don't know, work harder at my day job, I guess.
Wouldn't it be better if Microsoft or your bosses, like, gave you, like, Fridays or Thursdays and Fridays to work on this? I mean, at some point, you'll get married and have kids or get bored or, I don't know, get an Xbox, and suddenly your weekend time will dry up.
That's true, and I did get married through this process. And
the open source process got you married?
No. Sorry. I did get married throughout all of this process. I did get married. I started dating when we started going open source. I got married sometime after it was released as open source. So she kind of came into it knowing that this is a thing that I do, which probably helps. But it's not just me. You know, people talk a lot about the Wix toolset. Oh, that's Rob mentioned all this code. I'm like, that's not even close to fair. I'm actually on my, I think, fourth generation of set of people that work on the toolset. I've been consistent through it, but, you know, we've had names like, you know, Derek Cicerone, who now works for a company in the Valley, Scott Kurtzborn, who still works in Office, Reed Gustin, he now works at Google. But, I mean, those guys all were like the first unit. The second unit had, you know, people like Justin Rockwood and Bob Arnson. Justin still works in Office. Bob works in...
I see. So you're not alone now.
I am not alone. Like, there... I mean, this project has, I haven't counted in a while, but there are at least, you know, I think 50,000 lines of code in the compiler and linker.
Wow. So it's non-trivially large and certainly not something one person can do in their spare time.
No, not, I mean, it, you know, could someone write that many lines of code in 10 years? Yes. In the free time, that's trickier. So the fact that I'm not alone, you know, is like, no, it's this. And the people that are part of the Wix toolset really like it. Like, we like the communities. We like working together. We keep moving it forward, and we get a lot of nice feedback. You know, regular feedback is hugely popular. So all of this together is makes the project roll really, I don't know, we've been running really well. It hasn't been a problem. The other thing is that I tend to work in deployment-related stuff in all of the jobs that I've had at Microsoft, so I'm applying that knowledge to the Wix toolset. So it's not like I'm out of the domain not thinking about deployment. I'm not necessarily just working on the core toolset day in and day out.
And the bosses are supportive. They're not, I mean, like, when you have your reviews, they're like, yeah, good job on the Wix thing. Keep it up.
So let me give you a real good example of what ends up happening. So this is one of the things. One of the things we grow people is, like, you know, in Wix toolset, I spend a lot of time growing the people who work on it. Part of the reason they like coming around. And one of the things you do is you want to kind of, we call it increasing your sphere of influence. People you know, things that you can do so that you can do a better job of your job by knowing and being connected and just, hey, I know this other guy. He told me this thing. That's going to make my day job better because I know that that's the kind of thing customers will want. I previously worked at Windows Marketplace, which was selling software online. And at the time we were, you know, starting to bring on Microsoft products into that thing. They've been kind of there, but we're trying to get, you know, them into better. And I was like, you know, I happen to know pretty much all the teams at Microsoft. So which team, you know, I could go to our program manager and say, which team would you like to go talk to inside Microsoft about delivering their stuff into Windows Marketplace? And the program managers looked at me and go, you can get me any team? I'm like, well, yeah, I'll just call the setup guy who's going to be right next to the release and the release manager for that product, and they'll be able to tell you everything you want to know about that. And the program manager's like, that's awesome. So that kind of stuff ends up helping me do my day job better, even though I spend, you know, my free time doing these other things.
Oh,
does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, I want to understand whether someone is whether people at Microsoft are expected to do like a bunch of open source work on the side and their regular job and be awesome at everything. And if bosses say things like, really, you ought to be working on your open source thing less, you know, if they realize that there's not only just life out of work in a personal sense, but also in a work sense.
Well, you know, if I was sucking at my job, I'm sure they'd say, dude, you know, you probably need to work a little bit harder at your job. So I guess I've always known that I have to do good work, no matter what.
Well, this is really interesting. I think it's great that this has lasted this long, that the product is 10 years old. And I got to give you big credit for sticking with it this long.
Yeah. And so, and I have a surprise coming out in another month that I'm going to talk about, around my birthday time not quite ready to tell you, you're about a month early, but.
So you're going to tell me that you have a surprise, but you're not going to use the show here as your voice box to spread the word. You can't give us a hint. Can you give us something we can guess about?
A little bit of a guess, a little bit of a hint.
I'm just saying.
It's all related to the Wix tool set. And
I wonder how I could have guessed that.
it'll be good. So give it another month and give it another month and I've been formulating this blog post in my head. It's kind of been this thing that's been long coming. It took me a long time to make the set of changes that have all come together. So in another month, you'll see it.
Okay, so we should check that out at robmenching.com/blog.
Yep, that's where it'll be.
All right. I'll add links on the show site so everyone can get to the Wix tool set and a couple of other blog posts and interesting things about Wix. Thanks a lot, Rob, for taking the time to chat with me today.
Yeah, no problem. It's been fun.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.